The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
Welcome to The Common Good. This is Hannah Floor, and I am here today with Frank Ecker, who is the college launch lead from Outer Coast School in Sitka. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Hannah.
Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good to be here.
So you're the college launch lead. Can you tell me what that means?
Yeah, sure. So the college launch lead is a fun title that includes kind of all of the work of building Outer Coast College. And that's obviously a responsibility that's shared across our whole team. But in particular, I'm focused on building the systems and structures and relationships to start a two-year liberal arts college here in Sitka. So that includes working with accreditors, working with the different university partners that we work with to credit courses, and just in general, kind of trying to articulate what our mission and theory of change is for Outer Coast College proper.
Okay, you said mission and theory of change.
Mm-hmm.
What is your mission and theory of change?
Yeah, our mission is to empower students to effect meaningful change in their own lives and in their communities. We think about kind of making that mission real by building a curriculum that is relevant to students' lives and experiences, particularly here in Alaska, and giving students the tools and mindsets to kind of take that learning in the classroom and make it real out in the world to build stronger relationships, to build stronger communities. And so our sort of theory of change, or like theory of how we kind of enable students to go do that, is that if we give students the real agency and responsibility to be co-creators of their experience at Outer Coast with us, that then they'll go onto college or out into the world with the mindset that they can create the kind of world that they want to live in, because they were able to do that here in their time at Outer Coast.
Okay. I want to come back to that idea of co-creators in a minute, but just to sort of set a foundation here, Outer Coast is a new post-secondary school, and you said you're working on accreditation. It is not yet accredited, but it will hopefully will soon be an accredited two-year college. Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And when we say post-secondary, that just means after high school, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And can you give me just a little bit of background as to where the idea for Outer Coast came from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So Outer Coast came about in 2015 or so as sort of the marriage between an idea and a need here in Sitka. And so the idea comes from our founder, Jonathan Christ Tompkins, who, in addition to obviously serving in the state legislature for a decade, also really had an interest in reshaping higher education. In thinking about alternative models of education that could really focus on like excellent teaching in the college setting, and on really centering students' learning in community and in like actually doing things in the world. And so Jonathan is particularly inspired by this this model of education from a school called Deep Springs College, which is a very, very small liberal arts college and working cattle ranch in the high desert of the Eastern Sierras. All the students there like read the classics and like rope cattle and grow alfalfa, which is not exactly what we're trying to replicate here in Sitka, but right. Trying to kind of transplant the the idea that your education should bring something to bear on like how you actually go out into the world and meet people and create things. And then the need here in Sitka was that, of course, the Sheldon Jackson campus sits here in Sitka. Sheldon Jackson College went bankrupt back in 2007, and Alaska Arts Southeast and the Sitka Fine Arts Camp have done so much amazing work to restore the campus and to really bring it back to life with arts programming and things like that. But the campus is largely unused during the academic year, and our idea was that we could essentially bring this model of education and see if it could be adapted to this context and bring post-secondary education and all the kind of vibrancy and culture and service that comes along with that to Sitka. And to do that in a way that could be specific to the peoples and cultures of not just Alaska, but of Southeast Alaska and Tlingit peoples and cultures in particular. That's kind of the inception of the idea and a little bit of how it leads to where we are now.
You said Jonathan Kreis Tompkins saw a need for it in Sitka. Why specifically did he see a need for it in Sitka?
Yeah, right. Well, I think there's like a couple of different ways that we could think about need. I think there's like thinking kind of statewide, a real need for a kind of post-secondary education experience that really is place-based and specific to the like histories and traditions of place here in Alaska, both kind of culturally in terms of what students experience in the classroom, but also, it's like Alaska's rates of college completion and college persistence are the lowest anywhere in the country. And the thought was that as a two-year college, a community college, that Outer Coast could provide a kind of stepping stone from secondary education to a four-year degree that could not only, give students a college credential, but also, like, give them the real, like, empowerment and skills to, like, make the most of the rest of their college education.
Because they're seeing the application for the ideas and theories that they're learning in the classroom than out in the field when they're doing the work on the land or the service work that's part of Outer Coast.
Exactly. It's like the idea that in leaving your small community in Alaska to go to college, you're not leaving behind the kinship and values and experiences that were so like core to how you were raised, and that those can actually be assets in the classroom. And at Outer Coast, I think that is particularly true. And I think it gives students the ability to then go to, the UA system or many other institutions and feel that what they have to bring to the table is valuable.
That's such an interesting point. I remember the transition from growing up here in Petersburg, going to high school and then leaving and going to college down in the lower 48. And it was a very, very shocking, rough transition. And I can see that it would be really useful it would be useful to students to be able to have a sort of more gentle transition where the utility of the things that they were learning was made more clear, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I feel so similarly. I grew up in a small town in Southwest Colorado and left Southwest Colorado to go to college on the East Coast, and it was just incredibly disorienting trying to reconcile those two different realities.
And the ability to learn in that state of shock is very limited. So being able to have your environment be an asset to learning instead of a distraction would be really helpful. Earlier, you mentioned students as co-creators. I'm assuming you mean co-creators of curriculum and their overall experience.
Yeah, definitely. And so, Outer Coast is structured around these three pillars. So we've been talking a little bit about the academic pillar so far. We've kind of gestured at the service and labor pillar, which is the like students going out in the world and doing work. And the co-creation aspect is the self-governance pillar at Outer Coast. And so this is, I think, particularly unique to this style of education, but essentially it we understand students as co-authors of their experience at Outer Coast. And I think we mean that in a way that is much more involved than like a student council in high school or something like that. Like you're not just like planning a dance or something. like at Outer Coast, students, they foster both their own community on campus. So the students meet as essentially like a legislative body every week to make key decisions about how they will live well together. So everything from like the grocery list to like how they will vote on decisions, whether that's by consensus or by majority, and in what different contexts. You know, what are their quiet hours? Like, it's all of those kinds of everyday aspects of communal living that, if done well, can kind of reinforce the connections that happen in the classroom and in other spaces. So that's kind of the like immediate co-creation, co-authorship. But there's also this really like long-term vision for how students engage with Outer Coast, which is that students and staff they sort of share the governance responsibility for the future of Outer Coast. So on the applications committee, which is a majority student and student run committee, the applications committee are the ones who read all of the applications from new students who are applying to Outer Coast and who interview those students and actually make admissions decisions with faculty involvement for sure, but it's really a student run committee. And then the curriculum committee, which is another student and staff committee that considers proposals for courses and makes decisions about what the 2-year curriculum will look like, what it'll focus on, how it'll be structured. And so students are kind of walking alongside us in that whole process to think about what Outer Coast could be in the future.
What do you see come out of that, the fact that they're so involved in terms of their own sort of self-actualization?
Yeah, I think there's like it's sort of two sides of the same coin. And one is that like the process requires students to reflect like what are the values of the community that they what do they value in their community now in thinking about who they want to bring into the community in the future. It like provides a really helpful prompting for thinking about what is important to them as students. And then for us as an institution, it means that it's like the DNA of the institution is built with students alongside us, and not that we're trying to build something that we just think students will like, but that like students also helped us to create. And so that's especially true in like building a class and having students on the admissions committee, but it's true in so many other ways too. And thinking about, for example, our board of trustees, in which there's always one current student representative and one alumni representative, and they work alongside the rest of our board to make, to review our financials and to like bring new board members on. They're kind of involved in every aspect of the decision making process.
That's so interesting. I'm excited to watch the direction that Outer Coast takes, knowing that students are really driving that direction. So then you said the other pillar is service. And I know you talked about place-based education. And I'm guessing that service is something that's really important to being place-based and being part of the community, because that service is what then brings the students into the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And the key thing with that is trying to develop a service pillar at Outer Coast that that reflects like the real needs of the Sitka community and isn't kind of extractive in the way that service can often be when you're coming into a community and like trying to find ways to be helpful, being really cognizant about how that can actually like create more work for organizations as they're trying to like accommodate unskilled labor. And so our service at Outer Coast really relies on longstanding relationships with service partners who know our students well and who kind of have alignment with some of the work that we do. And so Some of those partners are, you know, our neighbors just across the street at the Science Center, the Sitka Sound Science Center. We've had students volunteering over there in the hatchery, in the round ponds, looking out for the octopus in the aquarium, those sorts of things. And then other kinds of relationships, like some of our students volunteer over at KCAW and work towards hosting their own shows and things like that. I think one of our most meaningful partnerships has been with Bob Sam, who is a Tlingit elder and culture bearer, and has been really like leading much of the work, not just in Sitka, but even internationally on Native cemetery restoration and repatriation of Indigenous graves. And there are lots of Indigenous cemeteries throughout Sitka which had, over the years, become really overgrown or sort of neglected, and so really led by Bob, we've gotten a chance to restore a lot of the cemeteries, upright headstones, and to, I think, then reflect back in the classroom, like kind of what it means to do that work well and to engage meaningfully with Indigenous communities. So that's been really exciting to see develop too.
And you had mentioned when we were talking before we were on mic that Indigenous language study is really important to the curriculum at Outer Coast as well. Can you tell me why that is?
Yeah, definitely. I think for us, and this kind of goes back to the theory of change a little bit, I think for us, Indigenous language and Indigenous language revitalization in particular provides just an incredible lens into the richness of a culture and its kind of way of understanding the world. And so since we started offering programs, have been offering Indigenous language classes. And so that was initially taught by Hene Lance Twischel, who is a professor at University of Alaska Southeast. During the pandemic, we saw this opportunity to kind of make that language learning more accessible and to bring more folks in to be able to access that resource. So we ran Tlingit Language massive open online course in the summer of 2020, and then after the success of that program, then offered it again in 2021, and then actually just wrapped up our third Tlingit MOOC last month. And so it sort of served this like dual purpose in that like internally to our students and the curriculum, it offers a really incredible, like I mentioned, way of understanding the landscape and cultures of this place. But then also, and then kind of connecting it to service, it then makes that those epistemologies, those worlds, available to more people, to more Tlingit language learners and culture bearers who are really looking for opportunities to practice and improve on the language. And it's just been incredible to see the kinds of relationships that have deepened through the language and through some of the programming that we've been able to offer.
Interesting. Yeah. And I love the way that when you learn the way that things are phrased differently in another language, it can really help you understand how that that culture thinks differently. Petersburg is known as Sitka Kwan, which means something roughly translated as place of the fast-moving water. And just knowing that that's the sort of lens that it was thought of through is a nice way to sort of deepen the understanding of this area. So I like the way that language can do that.
And just to add one just one point there too is that I think that feels especially important because of the land and campus that we're situated on in terms of the Sheldon Jackson campus's relationship to Indian boarding schools and cultural genocide. Like, I think any post-secondary institution on this campus has a real responsibility to undo some of that harm or to try and reconcile and to amplify the language where we can. I think that's just essential to what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and just to clarify that point, Sheldon Jackson was for a very long time, a boarding school for Indigenous children in Sitka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, the Sitka Industrial Training School, yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of students do you think benefit most from this kind of learning?
Yeah, well, so our primary focus is serving Alaskan students, and so over now 5 years of programs, the majority of our students have come from Alaska, although we've also welcomed students from around the lower 48 and even a couple of international students as well. Hmm. And we are looking for students who may or may not have set college plans. We definitely get students who know they're going to go to college and students who are like not sure if college is right for them. But the headline is that Outer Coast offers a place to seek more from your education, to find a sense of purpose, a sense of identity, and to really think critically about kind of what you will do with your education. And so it's a good fit for students who want to kind of try out college and see if it's right for them, but it's also a good fit for students who are ready to go to college, but want to kind of ask some big questions about themselves and their relationship to the world to go into college with a better sense of why they want to be there and what will be most important to them.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of room for exploration, which I think a lot of people can benefit from when they're right out of high school. Well, we are running short on time here, but I want to make sure I get in one last question. I want to talk a little bit about the way that Outer Coast functions as a nonprofit, because I think a lot of times we forget about all of the sort of back-end financial work that goes into nonprofits. And, you know, a lot of private post-secondary institutions are nonprofits. They often charge quite a bit more than Outer Coast does. And I saw on your website that Outer Coast works to ensure that cost is not a barrier for prospective students. And I'm curious how you guys do that.
Yeah, definitely. And this feels, core to how this model of education works as well, which is that, cost is never a barrier for a student to attend Outer Coast. Students apply through a need-blind admissions process, and then students who are admitted to Outer Coast then essentially give us some basic financial information and say, what would be an affordable contribution for us towards our student coming to Outer Coast, and then we are able to fund the rest through essentially need-based scholarships. But we don't really think about them as like a need-based financial aid process, but rather as like we work with students and their families to set a unique cost of attendance for them that they can afford. And really, what makes that possible is our different philanthropic sources. The large majority of our funding comes from philanthropic sources, something like 90%, about half of which comes from institutional funders from across the state, as well as some in the lower 48, and about half of which comes from individual donors. So only about 10% of our funding actually comes from tuition fee for service. And that's really because we want to be able to meet full financial need for students, and that is an attractive prospect for donors too, that they can like make this experience possible for students.
Do you get the sense that this system that you have created is replicable in other places, or do you think that it's limited, the fact that you have such great support from philanthropic donors is partly because you're such a unique institution?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I really do think it's replicable, and I think what is replicable about it is its kind of small by design nature, and that's like part of what allows us to meet full financial need for all students is that it is a small community, and also that students are really involved in the labor of the institution that would otherwise cost so much on like a from a bottom line perspective for bigger institutions. And so our dream is that this model at Outer Coast could be replicable, you know, potentially in other places in Alaska, but really kind of as a blueprint for rural communities across the lower 48 to for kind of creating stepping stones like this from secondary education to college.
That's really wonderful to hear. Well, so one of the reasons that I invited you on this show was because I heard that you are coming to Petersburg shortly.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in Petersburg, is it correct, on Monday the, I don't have a calendar in front of me, Monday, February 6th and Tuesday, yeah. February 7th?
Yeah, that's right. So I'll be in town, all day on Monday. I'll be visiting school and chatting with students and teachers and counselors, but I'll also just be around in Petersburg. And per your suggestion, Hannah, perhaps we'll post up at a coffee shop for a little bit if there are folks who are interested in learning more about our programs. I'd really, really be happy to talk about it.
Okay, wonderful. Well, if you have a set time, we will have a PSA on KFSK with the time and location of the coffee shop. And do you want to give out a contact information in case there are parents or students listening that would love to get in touch with you?
Yeah, that'd be great. You can reach me at my email, which is just frank@outercoast.org, frank@outercoast.org.
Okay, wonderful.
So coming up are two application deadlines for Outer Coast programs. So the first is for the summer seminar, which is a month-long program for rising high school juniors and seniors. The deadline for that is March 1st. And then the deadline for the Outer Coast Year, which is a post-secondary program for high school graduates. It's sort of like a gap year program for the fall and spring semesters. The deadline for that is on April 1st, but it's a rolling admission deadline for the year, so you should apply as soon as possible. And you can go find those applications at outercoast.org.
Okay, great. Good to know. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Frank.
Yeah, so great to be on, Hannah. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.